Here's a theme song, you know it's not a mean song. It's a good song, just as it should song. American Brews and Tunes.
Shibbity beeby doo! And we are back again.
Again. Back again.
Guess who's back? Brews and Tunes.
We are.
Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Na na na. Is that what you?
Yeah. So
is that what you're going for?
Yeah.
Eminem. Yes. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yep. Is there another song? I thought so, but was like, guess who's back?
I thought maybe you were just saying it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know. I was referencing the Eminem song for sure. Yep.
Samesies.
That doesn't matter. But we're back.
We are back, and this is American Brews and Tunes.
Yes. Whoop.
My name is Stephen Johnston.
And my name is Jesse Titus. Ooh, just about died there.
This is, don't do that. This is episode 149. we're super rusty because we took like 3 months off, essentially. But we had one episode come out earlier this month, and this is our second of the month, which we are planning on keeping up this schedule of doing bi-weekly episodes. What it is.
Yes. That's our plan.
Anyways.
Our plan is to do that 2 episodes a month, so we should be able to do that.
Yes. I think so. Last episode, we talked about those new Vampire Weekend songs.
Yes.
This episode, we are talking about some Sum 41 songs.
Yeah. Sum 41 released some new songs. The Canadian band, rock band, punk rock band from the late 90s.
I don't always forget that they're Canadian, but I did right now for some reason. I don't know why.
I always do, because I never think about Sum 41.
Oh, shame on you, Jesse. I think of Sum 41 all the time. They're one of my, like, when I was coming into my own, like, musical tastes, obviously Blink-182 is my favorite.
Yeah.
I always thought that, like, Green Day and Sum 41 were, like, tied for my second favorite.
Okay, well, okay.
And so, like, they hold a special place in my heart.
Nice. Well, that they probably hold a special place in a lot of people's hearts.
Yeah, and I know that you had reviewed a couple of Sum 41 albums on the podcast before, but
yes.
Before we actually get into the music and these singles that they've released so far, shall we talk about the bevy portion of this podcast?
Yeah. Let's talk about the beverage portion. Let's do it.
Now, what do you have this week, Jesse? Is it another tea?
Nope, it's not a tea. I guess actually, is it a tea? I mean,
I don't know.
It's a sparkling. It's a sparkling water with hops in it. So like, they would have had to have brewed it technically, right, with the hops in it, or are they just using? Like, how are they getting the hop flavor? Because, like, the ingredients of this is carbonated water, mosaic hops, and citric acid. So, technically, they would have brewed it, right?
You know, Jesse, I have absolutely no idea.
It does say craft brewed with mosaic hops.
So if they say craft brewed, then I guess they did. They boiled their water in citric acid and then threw some hop pellets in there?
Yeah, maybe? I guess so.
All right.
So it's kind of a tea, but it's a sparkling water though.
It's hop tea, kind of, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it
carbonated?
It's carbonated, yeah. It's called The brand is Hop Lark. Sparkling water, craft brewed with mosaic hops. Pine forward hop experience. So
Well, that does sound very interesting, Jesse. On the other hand, do not have the hop tea that you have, the Hop Lark hop water. This week I'll be imbibing in an alcoholic bevy.
All right.
Is it something brewed? Nope.
No? Okay.
Is it something distilled? Nope.
Yes? What? Okay.
Well, actually, I might have to, like, retrace my words because I don't know how they make this. okay. What but is I'm, it? I'm trying a wine. It's a wine.
Oh, it's a wine. Okay.
It's a wine. Fermented. It's from the winery Color Block, which what? I've never heard of. I've never heard of it. Color Block.
Color Block. Okay, yep. I've never heard of it either.
It is a 2022 Cabernet Sauvignon.
Sauvignon.
It yes. comes from Chile.
Oh, nice.
And do you want to know how I happen
that sounds,
to
that sounds fancy.
Have... Do you want to know why I have this wine in my possession?
I would love to know.
It's because last night, Becca homemade a pasta sauce, like an Italian Ooh, tomato
nice,
sauce.
Nice.
And she needed a Cabernet because she, like when she does that, she adds a little bit of red wine, a Cabernet to it.
Yep.
And so this was the one.
Amazing. So you're like, well, I might as well have it.
Yep.
Very good.
And if you're at all curious why we picked this one in particular, we went to Kroger, the local grocery store here in Nashville. And we were looking for something on the cheaper end of the spectrum. And yep. this was on sale for $4.99.
Ooh, what a nice steal.
Very it was nice. Marked down from, it was originally $14.99.
Okay.
Which, like, I'd say, like, if you're going to, like, a liquor store, a grocery store, wherever you buy wine from, a $15 wine is, like, a middle-of-the-road wine, right?
I think so, yeah. I have no idea, though. And
so, I mean, I'm just going by, like, what I assume based on prices.
Yep, yep.
Like a $10 wine's like a cheap wine, $20 wine's a little bit higher end. So like 15's right yeah. in the middle, I think.
Sure.
But ours for some reason was on sale for $4.99, baby.
So you were like, all right, let's get it. Easy yeah. decision. Nope.
There was also a wine cheaper on sale for $4.49.
Oh man, why didn't you go with that one?
Because the original price of that wine was $4.99.
Oh, okay.
So, this one has to be good, right?
It has to be. It has to be good.
I mean, it doesn't have to be, but I'm hoping.
See, the problem is, whenever we get to actually tasting it, I am not good at picking out notes in wine. I'm not good at thinking about what a wine is. I don't know how to describe wine. So, whatever you say, I'm going to be like, yep. That sounds right to me.
Yeah, because Jesse and I are not sommeliers. Yeah, we're not wine connoisseurs.
Yeah, we are not sommeliers at all.
We started this podcast as craft beer enthusiasts, so we could pick out notes of different grains, different hops, different yeasts,
yep.
what have you, all those things. And that has absolutely yep. nothing to do with wine.
Yeah, it's very different. That's all I know.
Yeah. All I can tell you is from my experience, I like more dry wines than sweet wines.
Okay. I think...
I don't know.
I feel like I was the same way, too.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, I've poured myself a nice little serving of this Color Block Cabernet Sauvignon from 2022.
I'm going to open up that
say we
can.
Give this... Open up that can. I heard that.
Yes.
And what say we go ahead and give this the American Brews and Tunes cheer, as we always say. Down the hop, water, and wine hatch.
Wow. This hop water is very reminiscent of beer. It's like
interesting.
If you imagine just like a classic, almost, I don't know, maybe like West Coast, but kind of not really West Coast, but it's like slightly juicy. Like you get that mm-hmm. from the Mosaic hops. And then just without any of the body of the beer. So like you get like that hop punch, but then it's just like
yeah.
sparkling water. Like really, really light, really airy. Maybe that's the right word. But the body, there's like no body to it, but you get that hop punch mm-hmm. at the beginning. That's kind of nice.
That kind of reminds me. I think it was Sierra Nevada, and I could be wrong.
Lagunitas,
but,
didn't?
Oh, no, no, right. No. That's what it was. Lagunitas. They had the hop water.
Yeah.
It was the same thing where it was like a carbonated water with a couple or maybe one type of hops. I can't remember. Yeah. But it was really good. Definitely hoppy. No body.
Yeah.
Like no grains. No malt. But it was good for what it was. I actually really liked it. But
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I ever like am kind of craving like a hop flavor. And since I don't drink beer anymore, like this would be a good substitute. Like it's kind of tasty. Like I remember really liking the Lagunitas hop water too.
So yeah, it definitely gets that nice bitterness that you get from hops without the beer.
Yep.
Now, let me tell you about this color block wine from my well-refined palate.
Yeah, let me hear all about it. Let me hear this slight little novelette about it.
My novelette. It's not too sweet, not too dry. I like
it. That's it. Nice. Can you tell what season these grapes were harvested in? And or
let me swirl it around, give it a smell. Fall? I don't know.
Does it reminds me of that scene?
I'm saying that because.
Where
the grapes fell. I don't know.
It reminds me of the scene in The Office where Michael is like, oh, yes, it's a very oaky afterbirth. It's like he's like trying so hard to like know what he's talking about. Yeah. Oh, man.
My favorite Michael Scott drinking scene in The Office was, do you remember when they all went to David Wallace's for the first time?
Yeah.
And they're all like in his back room, and he has like a 30-year-old scotch that he pours for everyone.
Yeah.
And Michael like kind of chokes on it a little bit and coughs.
Yep.
And he's like, oh my goodness, does anyone have some Splenda I can add to this?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I love Michael Scott. I love The Office.
So funny.
Do I love this wine? No,
yes.
But I like it. I don't love it, but I like it.
Okay.
Would I buy it again? No. I will tell you that Becca's sauce, the sauce that she made out of this was fantastic. So I would buy it for the sauce, not for the drink.
Okay, gotcha.
But I wouldn't be offended if somebody poured this for me at like a Italian dinner. I don't know.
Okay. So
not bad, not great.
Okay. Sounds like it'd be worth it to buy it. I mean, if it was $4.50, $4.99.
$4.99. It was worth it for the price. I'll say that
for a whole bottle, like yeah, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 It's a good deal.
It's a good cooking wine. It's cheap cooking wine.
Yes. For sure. It's a very quality cooking wine, at that price.
Yeah.
Shall we delve into these new Sum 41 songs?
Let's do that.
All right. So. A little bit of history, a little bit of overview. In the same way that we had talked 2 weeks ago about Vampire Weekend, Sum 41's last album was also released in 2019.
Oh, was it really?
Yes.
That was the album with like the yellow and pink like skull on it, right? It was like a black backdrop and then like a pink and yellow like skull zombie thing.
To be honest, I don't fully remember, but I know there was definitely a skull, so I'm just gonna go out and say yes. Definitely a skull.
Order in Decline, right?
Yes, that was the album.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah.
I was partially right. There is a skull on it, but there's also like these hands coming down like
definitely a skull. That's all I remember is there's definitely a skull. But since then, they've announced a new album, and it will be called Heaven and Hell.
Yes.
And this new album that they're going to release is a double album.
They're really like going out on a bang.
They are.
Laying it all out.
And
that's cool.
The Heaven aspect is going to be their traditional old school pop punk sound that they kind of became famous for.
Okay.
And the Hell side of the double album will be the more heavier metal like the punky metal sound that they kind of explore more in their later career. So it's going to be those two on a double album, right?
Okay. I like that idea. That's kind of fun.
I do too. It kind of gives a little bit of variety in a not too complex genre of music.
Yeah, they're keeping
debatably.
They're keeping it simple. Yeah.
Before they actually announced this album, they announced in May of 2023 that they were going to disband as a group. So this was going to be their last album, and they're going to do one more tour.
Wow. Yeah, that's huge. I mean, they've been a band since 96 or earlier than that.
Mm-hmm. It's a roller coaster of emotions, you know?
For a long time.
Yeah.
Almost 30 years. So that's, I'm sure they all probably want to rest and go to their own lives and not be
in the, go to sleep
in the limelight anymore and not really be touring anymore. They want to rest. I can totally understand that.
Yeah. I mean, because they've been a band who, like, they, for the most part, pumped out albums pretty consistently. They did several tours in between albums. They've, like, always been very active. So this is kind of like their closing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's their metaphorical curtain call, I guess. So hopefully they make it a good one. Hopefully they make the album really good. And if these three songs are any indication, I feel like I'm gonna like it.
Same here. So, shall we jump in?
Yeah, let's jump in.
I'm gonna go ahead and talk about each song individually based on when they were released. So the first song that they released when they announced the album was Landmines.
Okay.
So this is the first single, came out in September of 2023, and this is specifically from the Heaven side.
Yeah.
So it's a little more on the pop punk side, not so much on the metal side.
Yeah, yep, definitely is, yep. Oh yeah, like remembering back to like the melodic structures and like the melodies they choose, like it definitely feels more like earlier pop punk, like kind of like have like reminiscence of like Blink and really super catchy chorus.
Catchy. I'm gonna start out with my one complaint about the song though.
Okay.
And I feel like you probably, maybe, well, I don't know if you're on the same page, but I feel like you might be on the same page as me. I think the post-chorus woes are a little campy, a little cheesy.
Okay. I feel like I know what you mean, but they're...
They fit, but I think they're...
They fit, and they're so short, though. It's only two lines of woes. Like, if they were doing... And they do have, like, spoken words in between the woes, so I feel like it's not... I'm not as...
Yeah.
They do still sound campy. I agree with you there. But I feel like they don't sound, like, overly campy.
Like, I agree.
I'm not, like, annoyed by them. Does that make sense?
I'm not either. I'm just trying to pick up the one critique early on. Because the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, I'm not... That's a little campy or whatever. So that was my first like critique when I listened the first time. But I got past it pretty easy. I do like how they have like those programmed drums at the beginning and they kind of come back, I think, in the bridge and maybe a little later. But it's a nice little touch. The song's not groundbreaking by any stretch, but it's super catchy. Really good song.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like... this definitely fits on the Heaven side. Like, this is very nostalgic sounding.
It's everything. A good precedent for the Heaven side.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a little bit more interested in, though, the Hell side, which I assume are the other two songs.
You're only half right in your assumption because the second single, which is called Rise Up, is from the Hell side.
Okay. Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah, and Rise Up is definitely heavier than Landmines. It sounds like it's in a drop tuning on the guitars, right?
I think so.
There's some heavy hits. The tempo is a little slower than Landmines, but the beat is double time, so it kind of sounds like it's faster.
Yeah.
But it's very different in like all regards other than that.
I like how they still mix in like a lot of pop punk elements though.
Like it's 100%.
Like
the melody, right?
Melody, like the drums too, like they still have that classic like pop punk drum pattern, mm-hmm. which is really good. Sounds nice. Mm-hmm. I feel like the
drum beats, like the heavy hits, the drop tuning, and especially the like guitar solo, like the shredding. Like it sounds like it's like Iron Maiden or something, like that kind of level of shredding kind of keeps it on the hell side. That's I think what like really sets it apart.
Yeah, I feel like the production on these first three songs is really, really tight.
Oh yeah.
Like that's
for sure.
It's really, really cool to hear how they really struck a really good balance between having it sound less like sound punk and metal, but like still be really produced. Like it's not overproduced. It's not too shiny, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And there's like enough raw grit to balance out the shine, which I think is,
I think you're 100% on point with that. And I need to look like actually reconfirm this, but I'm fairly certain that the lead singer and guitar player Derek Whibley had produced their last two albums, and I think there was just a like they sounded great, but there was lacking a little bit in the production and engineering. So I wonder if they like actually hired a producer for this album.
Yeah, maybe they did. I'm not sure.
I'll have to double check. But how about the third song that they released, which is called Waiting on a Twist of Fate? And now, you had thought that this was going to be on the hell side, right?
Yeah, but like the intro, though, is definitely pop punk, right?
Hold on. The intro made me think of the Menzingers.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to be an a-hole anymore.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
With that, like that almost the harmonies on the E string kind of like going up and then with the hits, it's just, I thought about it. Becca mentioned the same thing. She's like, are they, is this a cover?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then it changes very quickly after that.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like
tempo-wise, this is definitely the fastest.
Yeah. It definitely is the fastest, yeah. I feel like the verses are on the hell side, and then the chorus is definitely on the pop punk side, the heaven side. I don't know. Now, this song feels like both.
See, here's what I think. I think the verses and the chorus are both on the heaven side, but there's like a pre-chorus that connects the verse and chorus that's definitely hell sound. Like, it's hell side sounding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a little bit of like yelling Jesse, in it, and like that's why I was leaning towards the hell side.
Yeah, and that's definitely the pre-chorus, and I agree 100%. But
yeah,
there's one thing about all three of these songs that I have to tell you.
Okay, lay it on me.
The choruses from each of the songs are the same chord progression.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
It's a classic pop punk chord progression that we all know and love.
It is not 1-5-6-4. It's like 1-3. No, it's like 1-5-3. I can't think of it off the top of my head. I think it's like 1-5-3-4.
1-5-3-4. Yeah. Okay.
But
nice.
Regardless of I might be wrong on that, but regardless of what it is 100% the same. It's the same chord progression and it's the same key.
Really?
Yes. It's like,
wow.
It has to be on purpose.
Like they did a
like.
They did a really good job. They did a great job making it sound, making them sound different.
Yes, like 100%. They don't. None of the songs sound the same. You would never pick them up, like, and like confuse them if you like actually listened.
Yeah.
But if you go ahead and pick up a guitar, like play along, it's all the same key. And then when you get to the chorus, it's the exact same progression, and it's like,
huh?
I think it's on purpose.
I mean, that it'll be interesting to see if the rest of the album is like that too.
I'm not sure that it is. Like, maybe it's just like the singles they released, like for a reason.
Yeah. Huh.
But it's interesting. It's really interesting.
Cool find.
Yeah. Lyrically, I don't know how deep it is. Like, did you get anything out of it?
No, not too much.
Yeah, me neither.
But that's kind of the way that a lot of punk lyrics are, though. Like, they're fairly simple in what they mean, mm-hmm. or fairly straightforward anyway. Not a lot of metaphor.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, not that there's anything wrong with that. I think it's on par for the genre.
Yeah. Like, they say lines like, I can't spend my life just waiting on a twist of fate.
Yep.
And yeah, like there's not,
which is fine.
Yeah, which is, it fits for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I like all three of these songs.
I do too.
I didn't really know what to expect whenever I started to listen to them, because I thought, like, a lot of like pop punk bands are kind of hit and miss for me. Specifically ones that are like, really poppy, or like. Because some of them
in Sum 41 too much can be, yeah,
yeah. Sometimes they lean a little bit too much into the pop aspect of it, and it's not as, But anyway, I think these three songs though are great. I enjoyed them.
Yeah, I am excited to see what the rest of the album sounds like, or the rest of the double album, should I say?
Yes.
And really kind of comparing the heaven versus the hell side just to see what they do. I think it's a kind of a fun aspect to do as a double album.
For sure.
Yeah. Moving on to what we're going to be doing in the next couple weeks.
Yep.
I think we may, and I say may very, like, hesitantly with an asterisk.
Hesitantly, yep.
We may finally do our recommendations for each other, which are...
It's been a long time. Microwave for Me.
Yes.
The band Microwave.
And the album is Death is a Warm Blanket.
Yep, Death is a Warm Blanket. Okay, yep.
And for me, it will be The Stage by Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that episode's been a long time coming.
So... If everything goes right, hopefully we'll have that for you in a couple weeks.
Yes.
Or we'll have something different. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
How's your hop water been treating you? On par, I'm assuming?
It's definitely on par. As it's been sitting open, there, it's lost a little bit of the carbonation, so like that's a little bit rough.
It happens.
But
kind of the same way that a sparkling water does.
Yep. It still tastes good, though. Yeah, the hops are still really present, and they've got that nice kind of bitter, earthy flavor, which I like. Mm-hmm. So, overall, very good. Maybe I'll have to try... Nice. I think they have other ones, so like they might have one with like Citra hops or something like that. So maybe I'll have to get another variety of this Hoplark sparkling water brand.
It'd be nice to do like an A-B comparison between the two, see if you can taste like the difference like between the hops.
Yeah, that would be kind of
interesting. At some point. Just to see, or like maybe they're yanking your chain and they all taste the same.
Just using the same hops and just putting a different label on them. Yeah, I would hope not. But
you never know, though.
Maybe we could do... Maybe I'll do that. I'll try to find them. Yeah. I think I got it at Target. We'll see.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, good on Target.
But anyway.
As for this wine...
Yeah,
it tastes the same to me. It's not more oaky, no different afterbirths.
There's no more afterbirths coming in.
Yeah. I like it just the same as before.
Okay.
So.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. I have.
That's all I have to say about that.
Nothing to say about wines. They're all.
I'll have a beer maybe next episode. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. They always.
Or maybe I'll have a different wine.
They always kind of tasted the same to me.
I will say, as far as like wine goes, regardless of the like the sweet versus dry spectrum,
yeah,
I can taste a little difference between some of the styles. Like this, like I said, this is a Cabernet Sauvignon. Well, you know, when I say that, I mean red versus white, I guess.
Yeah.
But also, I've had like this. I don't know. I'm just gonna completely contradict what I just said.
Okay.
And go say for like it. I've had some of the whites that are dry. I've had some of the whites that are sweet.
Yes.
I've had some that are a nice, comfortable middle between sweet and dry. I don't know.
Anybody who's also listening, I can say is, who is a wine expert. Sorry.
Also, I know is when I taste something, I can tell if I like it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one is in the like category. That's good.
Not the love, not the hate.
Just the like. The like. Just the like. Okay. Yeah. Very good.
What say we go ahead and give a cheers and sign off as we always do on American Brews and Tunes.
Sounds good.
As we always say, down the hop water and hop average wine hatch. Hop wine hatch. Oh, that's an interesting idea, though.
Put some hops in wine.
Yeah, I wonder if anyone's done that.
I have no idea.
I'll have to do some research, and I will check in next episode.
Yeah, try to figure to that see. Out.
Yeah.
But thank you for anyways, listening.
Anyways, my name is... Thanks for listening. My name is Stephen Johnston.
And my name is Jesse...
Titus.
And this is American Brews and Tunes.
Goodbye.
Let's put a smile on that face.
Okay.
Here's a theme song. You know it's not a mean song. It's a good song, just as it should song. American Brews and Tunes.
Shibbity beeby day.